Tonight, out of control. Entire neighborhoods gone as the toll of dead and missing soars in California.
The destruction and the devastation just makes me so upset. And I pray that these people will be okay.
Firefighters racing to save more homes. Bombshell new allegations against Harvey Weinstein, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Angelina Jolie accuse the movie mogul of sexual misconduct in hotel rooms. This as audio emerges of Weinstein during a police sting. Trump's IQ challenge after our NBC News report that his own Secretary of State called him a moron. The president boasts that he has a higher IQ than Rex Tillerson and suggests a battle of wits. And game plan. Is the NFL about to require players to stand for the national anthem? What the commissioner just revealed. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West, and thank you for being here. The danger is not letting up in Northern California tonight, where at least 15 people have now died amid a blitz of wildfires on a scale not seen there in decades. The fire's taking out entire neighborhoods, like Santa Rosa's Coffee Park. Before and after photos show just how much has been lost there. Wildfires burning on both ends of California have smothered cities in blankets of ash and smoke. Residents warned to limit outdoor activity as firefighters work to take advantage of calmer winds. Our Joe Fryer is on the fire lines there in Santa Rosa with the latest.
The massive footprint carved out by a series of fast-moving wildfires is only growing tonight.
Let's go.
As the death toll rises to at least 15.
Folks did not have a chance. They did not have the time to escape.
Among the victims, Charles and Sarah Rippey of Napa County. He was 100, she was 98.
All the windows started to explode and smoke and heat and all that everywhere, and she just couldn't find him.
Oh my God!
17 large explosive wildfires are burning, scorching more than 115,000 acres, prompting the federal government to declare a major disaster. In Northern California, at least 2,000 homes and businesses are gone. The city of Santa Rosa lost a McDonald's, a Hilton, a mobile home park for seniors, and entire neighborhoods like Coffee Park.
Here was
it's there we found Brian Gilman. He lost nearly everything, yet in the rubble found his mother's ruby ring.
Everything else is devastated, but the things that she asked for, amazingly, are still here.
Vineyards and wineries were also damaged, including Paradise Ridge, which lost its winemaking building.
I guess you got to look for silver lining, and for us, a silver lining is that the vineyards survived.
With a thick blanket of smoke stifling the region, the demand for masks is growing throughout the state. In Southern California, more smoke can be seen from Disneyland. Nearby, Santa Ana winds pushed flames across more than 9 square miles, burning at least 2 dozen structures.
My front porch is on fire, but seeing what happened over here and the destruction and the devastation just makes me so upset.
But tonight in Santa Rosa, amid the blocks of burned debris, a bright sign of hope.
We're Americans. We will survive. We will rebuild and we'll move on. All of us.
Some have described the scene as apocalyptic. Looking out at this Santa Rosa neighborhood, you can see why, as far as the eye can see, not a single house left standing. Here on the ground, something else we noticed, a number of burned cars left behind, a sign of just how quickly evacuees had to get out as the fire moved in. Lester?
It's amazing. Everything gone there. Joe Fryer, thank you. There are major new developments tonight in the scandal swirling around disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. Several more Hollywood stars, including Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie, went public today with accusations that Weinstein sexually harassed them, too. Those new accusations rippling through Hollywood as a recording emerges of an encounter between Weinstein and one of his accusers during a police sting 2 years ago. Here's NBC's Ann Thompson.
Another seismic shock in Hollywood. Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow saying they, too, were sexually harassed by Harvey Weinstein, adding to a growing list of women.
I will tell you something in return.
Paltrow, then 22, had just been hired for the movie Emma. She tells the New York Times Weinstein put his hands on her and suggested they go to the bedroom for massages. I was a kid. I was petrified. Paltrow says she left and told her then-boyfriend Brad Pitt, who confronted Weinstein. Jolie says after her incident, she chose never to work with him again and warned others when they did. These revelations following another explosive story today, this time in The New Yorker. Mira Sorvino and Rosanna Arquette among 13 women who say they were sexually harassed or assaulted by Weinstein, including three who say they were raped. Weinstein's spokesperson says any allegations of non-consensual sex are unequivocally denied by Mr. Weinstein, and there were never any acts of retaliation for refusing his advances. Ronan Farrow, who contributes to NBC News, wrote the story.
Uncanny similarities exist between each of these women's stories. They talk about a pretext of a professional meeting that is then moved to a hotel and a hotel room. Many of them refer to offers for a massage.
Today, former actress Louisette Geist telling what's now become a familiar story.
He returned in nothing but a robe, with the front open, and he was buck naked.
In 2015, after model Amber Badalena Gutierrez claimed Weinstein inappropriately touched her, New York police set up a sting, which was recorded.
And yesterday you touched my breast.
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
No, but I'm not used to that.
The New York District Attorney declined to press charges.
16 assistants and executives, former and current, talked about a culture of silence in the company, talked about how they witnessed inappropriate activity.
The Weinstein Company did not respond today. Weinstein's behavior such an open secret, it was a joke at the 2013 Oscar nominations.
Congratulations, you five ladies no longer have to pretend to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein.
Tonight, former President Obama and Hillary Clinton breaking their silence. Obama disgusted, Clinton appalled by Weinstein's reported behavior. A major campaign donor accused of abusing power and women. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Tonight, the President of the United States has challenged his own Secretary of State to something of a battle of wits. The President responding to NBC News' exclusive reporting that Rex Tillerson called him a moron. The President now boasting that his IQ is higher than Tillerson's and that he'd win an IQ competition between the two. Here's NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker.
Tonight, the president growing increasingly isolated from his own team and party, hosting his Secretary of State for lunch just hours after slamming him. Mr. Trump addressing the NBC News report that Tillerson called him a moron. "I think it's fake news," Mr. Trump told Forbes magazine. "But if he did that, I guess we'll have to compare IQ tests, and I can tell you who is going to win." The president also sounding off while sitting next to a former Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger.
"Did you undercut the Secretary of State today with the IQ comment?"
"No, I didn't undercut anybody. I don't believe in undercutting people."
The White House press secretary dismissing the flap.
"He wasn't questioning the Secretary of State's intelligence.
He made a joke.
Maybe you guys should get a sense of humor and try it sometime. But he simply made a joke."
But the White House isn't laughing about the president's escalating face-off with Tennessee Republican Senator Bob Corker. Today, the president took to Twitter to give Corker one of his characteristic nicknames, calling him little and a fool. This after Corker said the president is putting the U.S. on a path to World War III.
"Is Senator Corker right that you're putting the U.S. on the path to World War III?
"We were on the wrong path before. All you have to do is take a look."
Behind the scenes, party leaders are urging both sides to cool it, concerned the family feud could derail the entire fall GOP agenda. But former top advisor Steve Bannon raising the stakes.
"If Bob Corker has any honor, any decency, he should resign immediately."
Also tonight, the Environmental Protection Agency proposed to reverse Obama-era regulations on greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. The White House hopes the move will boost the nation's coal industry, but there will be legal challenges. Lester.
All right. Kristen Welker at the White House this evening. Thank you. Now to an NBC News exclusive. While the world is focused on the nuclear threat from North Korea, our team has learned that the North Koreans are already striking at the U.S. in a different way, targeting our power grid, trying to infiltrate U.S. electric companies with cyber attacks and potentially cause havoc. Our chief foreign affairs correspondent, Andrea Mitchell, has the details.
Tonight, documents obtained exclusively by NBC News show Kim Jong-un has targeted the U.S. power grid with cyber attacks against multiple electric companies, trying to break in with emails containing malware, according to a private report by the cybersecurity firm FireEye.
They have the capability not only to infiltrate, but potentially to destroy data and systems.
North Korea already attacked Sony 3 years ago. Revenge for a Hollywood movie mocking Kim Jong-un. Now experts warn they are developing the same techniques to attack broad sectors of the U.S. economy.
One of the things that worries us a great deal is the ability of the North Koreans to strike here in the heartland, particularly at the financial sector.
Intelligence officials tell NBC News it was North Korea that pulled off a brazen cyber heist of the Central Bank of Bangladesh, that country's Federal Reserve, netting Kim Jong-un $81 million. This defector tells NBC News the regime has embedded 6,000 cyber warriors in China, South Korea, and other neighboring countries.
FireEye tells NBC News it has documented cyber attacks against South Korea's military, its power plants, even aviation, all appearing to come from North Korea.
Now new fears those North Korean hackers could soon target the U.S. with a devastating attack.
They want very much to have the capability to shut down our power grids, our utility systems, our banking, our air traffic control.
Tonight, the industry says North Korea has not yet penetrated the energy grid, but are on alert for a growing North Korea threat. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
Now to an urgent new wake-up call about the youngest victims of a deadly crisis confronting our nation. Tonight, the impact of the opioid epidemic on our nation's schools. As we go inside the halls of one elementary school touched by tragedy after tragedy. NBC's Kate Snow has the latest in our series, One Nation Overdosed.
At East Falmouth Elementary.
Good morning.
The lessons for a young generation caught in the grip of America's opioid crisis start at the front door.
Good morning.
High fives from police officers to reinforce that even if some kids have seen their parents arrested, the police aren't the bad guys. Justine Dale is the hands-on principal.
Hey, I'm glad you came to school.
In this new kind of war zone.
What were your first clues that, oh my goodness, we've got a really bad crisis here?
I think when we started having parent deaths and having to enter a first grade classroom and tell students, you know, that their classmate has lost a parent, and then to have to do that again and to do it again.
In this historic Cape Cod town, the opioid toll is staggering. In the fourth grade alone, 6 parents have died, 12 parents across the whole school.
We are having students come to school, if they come to school, late. They're traumatized by what they've experienced over the weekend or in that evening and lash out at people or withdraw.
Or the opposite, get
right,
quiet.
Find a corner anywhere and just get into the fetal position.
And when that happens, what do you do?
We wrap our arms around them and bring them in.
But I might have to go home.
Josiah is one of those children. When he first started school, he was out of control.
I used to be a fighting machine.
He would hit, he would throw things. He was very, extremely violent.
Josiah's mom, Crystal, started using heroin when he was a toddler.
I was not a nice mom.
Were you so deep in the addiction that you just didn't have time to parent him?
No, I just didn't want to because I was too busy doing what I had to do. It's a full-time job being a drug addict.
What made you stop using heroin?
Oh, the last day I used it was when I overdosed in front of my kids. It was the last day I used.
Can you do this, Hunter?
The Falmouth School District is teaching children like Josiah how to control their emotions.
What feelings are there in the blue zone?
Bored? Depressed?
Every day, the whole school starts with music.
I want you to inhale and fill your lungs with oxygen.
There are breathing exercises to stay calm.
Do this 5 times.
Okay.
I'll show you. One.
There's even a special room where kids can blow off steam if they feel agitated. With the help of his teachers, Josiah is like a new kid.
I am a fish.
His mom, now 20 months sober.
I'm a mom now, and I have lovely children now. I don't want to live any more days with regret, so I want to enjoy my time with my children.
Okay, oh my goodness. We can do high fives out the door.
As another school day ends, Justine Dale worries about what some students face at home.
I can manage my school day and keep that a wonderful place for children, and they're happy and safe.
Bye, guys!
But I worry about what happens after 3:30.
Because so many kids are struggling, they now have weekly teleconferences with McLean Psychiatric Hospital so teachers can ask experts for advice on individual kids, Lester.
So many things strike me in that report. One is that these teachers are clearly going above and beyond.
Absolutely. Some of the teachers have even taken kids into their own homes because the foster system is so overwhelmed.
These reports really giving us a sense how wide the circle of those affected by addiction is. Thank you.
Thanks.
So ahead, changing the rules. The NFL's commissioner says players should stand for the national anthem. Could team owners force them to? Also caught on camera, they hadn't seen each other in 2 years. See their emotional surprise reunion. We'll be back. We're back now with new developments in the saga over NFL players standing or kneeling during the national anthem. It has sparked a national debate far beyond football fans. Players saying they're silently protesting racial injustice, critics saying they're being unpatriotic, and tonight there are indications that the league might be about to make a move. NBC's Peter Alexander has details.
The Pittsburgh Penguins.
Tonight, the president talking hockey, but again tackling football, as NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell speaks out. This Goodell memo to team presidents: we believe that everyone should stand for the national anthem. We want to honor our flag and our country, and our fans expect that of us. We also care deeply about our players and respect their opinions and concerns about critical social issues. The NFL now saying the controversy over player protests will be front and center when league owners meet next week and try to come up with a game plan. Still unclear whether standing for the Stars and Stripes will be written into the rules, a requirement. The White House weighing in.
I think we would certainly support the NFL coming out and asking players to stand, just as the president has done.
Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones already enforcing it.
My actions are going to be that if you do not honor and stand for the flag, then you won't play.
President Trump trying to capitalize on what he sees as a political winner. Today on Twitter, demanding the U.S. change tax law to punish the NFL for disrespecting our anthem. In fact, the league gave up its tax-exempt status a few years ago. Tonight, the White House also defending the vice president's taxpayer-funded trip to Indianapolis, including that walkout after players took a knee to highlight racial injustice. Goodell conceding the dispute is now dividing us, insisting we need to move past this controversy. Peter Alexander, NBC News, the White House.
We're back in a moment with the Duchess of Cambridge showing off her baby bump for the first time since announcing she's pregnant. Back now with news about the health of our children. The World Health Organization issuing a new alert showing a tenfold increase since 1975 in childhood obesity. Now, according to the WHO, there are nearly 125 million children worldwide who suffer from obesity. In Britain today, our first look at the royal baby bump, royal baby number three, that is, Princess Kate making her first appearance since she and Prince William announced they were expecting. The princess had been staying out of the public eye while dealing with severe morning sickness. The pair was joined by Prince Harry at an event highlighting World Mental Health Day. And an emotional moment to share with you. You've seen reunions before, but maybe not quite like this one. Take a look. The video is of a Marine Corporal, Naeem Tohid, suddenly appearing at a family reunion near Los Angeles to surprise his mom, Nikkel Moore, who was so overwhelmed with joy she began running around him before giving him a big, tearful hug. Mom says they hadn't seen each other since he was deployed overseas in 2015, and she was totally blown away. Let's call that an understatement. When we come back, from the heart, the unique emotional bond inspiring a pair of runners to take on a marathon. Finally, tonight, more than 40,000 people ran the Chicago Marathon this year, but two of them share a bond like no other, a life-saving gift inspiring them both to reach for the finish line. Here's NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
Staring down a marathon is daunting.
Ready?
I'm ready.
But for Fred Miller and Shay Brown, this race is about life itself.
I got to get my heart warmed.
A life lived, a life lost, a life saved.
Alyssa, otherwise known to us as Lissy, was delightful, spunky, super bright.
Fred lost his 24-year-old daughter to illness in 2013. Alyssa chose to donate her organs. And one day, the woman who received her heart sent a letter. It was Shay.
I can't even begin to fathom the pain and grief you have endured in losing her.
Shay's own heart had been irreparably damaged in a battle with cancer.
Alyssa gave me a new life. She's my miracle.
She wanted to help somebody else to have the life that unfortunately she could not have.
Shay said she wanted to tackle the Chicago Marathon.
The real trick is that
she and Fred decided to run together. And run they did. Mile after magnificent mile.
Congratulations.
You're a tough lady.
And while she is still so terribly missed, Alyssa was there with them at the finish line.
I can't believe I did it.
Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
That's a bond that won't be broken. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.